Over the weekend, Russian President Vladimir Putin called Donald Trump a clever man and a statesman. More praise from Putin for Trump, who has expressed admiration for the Russian leader numerous times. That is concerning to former world chess champion Garry Kasparov, a Russian pro-democracy leader who chairs the Human Rights Foundation. He's the author of the book Winter is Coming, Why Vladimir Putin and the Enemies of the Free World Must Be Stopped, which is just out in paperback. Garry Kasparov, welcome.
Thanks for inviting me.
And I know that you have concerns about Donald Trump's admiration for Vladimir Putin, which we will get to. But you've also compared Trump to Putin. Why is that? How are they alike?
Again, it'll take time actually to judge Donald Trump as a president. But from what we heard during the campaign and from what we can learn from his biography, I mean, didn't give me much comfort because he acted more like an oligarch, somebody who just, you know, believed that he would be above the law and he could, you know, break all the rules. And he showed very little respect to the existing democratic institutions. And I think also psychologically, Putin probably felt the same way because Trump showed no respect for institutions that secured European peace and prosperity over the last 6 decades.
Although we just heard from the British Prime Minister that they talked and that Trump had said he respects NATO and he thinks it's important. What do you make of what's happened since the election and how he's picked people for his cabinet, et cetera? And do you have any hope that his foreign policy will be more in favor of some of the international institutions that have been so key to American foreign policy for so long?
It will be a disaster if Trump doesn't change his rhetorics and he tries to stick with his promises to continue the retreat that has started under Obama. During the last 8 years, the reputation of the U.S. presidency and U.S. as a global power has dwindled. And America needs now just to recover its place in the world. And I don't want to sort of prejudge, you know, the American future foreign policy because Donald Trump has yet to pick up his Secretary of State.
Right.
I would be very happy if Mitt Romney is appointed because he definitely has, you know, balanced view of the world. And 4 years ago, he was correct stating that Russia under Vladimir Putin was American number one geopolitical foe.
But Donald Trump does not believe that Russia is the number one geopolitical foe. That's for sure.
I don't think Donald Trump believes in anything, you know, regarding foreign policy or other geopolitical issues. It's so far, you know, away from his world. But now Trump has to make, I mean, decisions that will, you know, define his presidency. And my concern is that he might be restricted by some kind of deals in the past that he made with Russian oligarchs or some other connections that he could have entered with Russians in the years before he decided to run.
What do you what do you mean by he might be restricted?
Look, you know, we know that Donald Trump was on the verge of bankruptcy in 2008, and his real estate empire was saved by a great infusion, a massive infusion of foreign capital. Now the question is, what percentage of this capital was Russian? Whether there were some, you know, strings attached. Again, we don't know. I mean, this is for me the biggest problem, that Donald Trump won the elections. He's a president elect without revealing how much he's worth. You know, what is the value of his empire? What are his connections with Russians, maybe Chinese and other foreign investors? So we know very little about the man who is just about to assume the most powerful position in the world.
How do you explain Putin's public admiration for Trump? Why has he been so seemingly happy and welcoming of the new president?
Okay, there's the two possibilities. One is actually three. One is that he might have something tangible on Trump. I think it's unlikely, but again, I wouldn't exclude it completely. And he believes that Trump will be, as I said, restricted in his actions. Second, I think is most likely is Putin liked what he saw in Trump. He's a KGB guy, and he, you know, he proved to be a very good savvy operator while negotiating with the foreign leader. He totally outplayed George W. Bush, who also, you know, admired Putin at the beginning of their relations. So I think Putin Putin believed, whether he believes it or not now, I don't know, that Trump could help him to create more chaos globally. All Trump's statements about NATO and about traditional American alliances, it was like music for Putin's ears, because Putin needs a weaker Europe, divided Europe. And if America decides to withdraw completely, that will help Putin to continue his aggressive foreign policy.
Do you think that Putin had anything to do with the Russian propaganda machine that was behind the effort to spread fake news articles on social media leading up to the election that were usually negative toward Hillary Clinton?
Oh, by the way, anything that happens in Russia, you know, it cannot happen without Putin's direct approval. Anti-American propaganda for years is a core of Putin's domestic agenda. And attacking Hillary Clinton, I mean, that for Putin was kind of a compensation for what he believed, you know, was a betrayal of Obama's administration. Putin thought that policy of reset meant that he could do whatever he wanted in the post-Soviet territories and also globally. And the fact is that America eventually showed some teeth, you know, made Putin quite upset. And there's no doubt that the operation to discredit Hillary Clinton and to hack the DNC server and to go after some of the Hillary Clinton's closest advisors, like John Podesta, it was all sanctioned by Putin and was a part of the KGB operation to influence American elections, because it also helped Putin to boost his image as a strong man who could even meddle with U.S. elections.
So, Garry Kasparov, what would your advice be to Trump, if he will listen to you, about how to deal with Vladimir Putin on issues like the hacking, but also in Syria and in Ukraine and elsewhere?
Now, first of all, I hope that Trump administration and the Republican senators and members of the House will not block investigation of Russian hacking and Russian interference into American political system. I think it's very important to restore the confidence that American political system is intact and no foreign power, especially hostile foreign power, can influence it. Then, of course, you know, you have to look at the record of Vladimir Putin. I mean, not to listen to what he's saying or he's writing, because for him, as a KGB agent, the words is just, you know, it's kind of a wall to cover his true intentions. And the fact is that Russia today is, as Romney said 4 years ago, is a number one geopolitical foe that is attacking strategic American interests and is attacking the free world everywhere. You need a comprehensive policy, not just, you know, tactical cooperation or a tactical confrontation, but a long-term strategy to make sure that NATO will get together. I actually agree with Trump that, you know, the American allies in Europe will have to boost their defense spending and to create, you know, a modern defense system that will guarantee the security in Europe. And also it's globally, because Russia and Vladimir Putin will poke America and the free world anywhere where they can find the soft spot.
You wrote an article in The Washington Post back in July, right around the time of the Republican National Convention, that ended with, quote, "The moral, be careful whom you vote for. It could be the last election you ever have." Do you think that, given what's happened in the election and how Trump has acted afterwards, that do you still believe that in this country?
Obviously, there is a threat with someone like Trump that American political system could be compromised. But I believe in the strength of American political institutions. And so far, I could see that Trump, you know, is relying heavily on traditional Republican deal makers and politicians. So it's highly unlikely that he will go too far. But at the same time, you know, I'm troubled by his continuous tweeting on every issue that goes under his skin. And also his statements that, you know, might be considered as an attack of the First Amendment, they're also not adding confidence. Still, you know, I think American political system is strong enough. And it's very important for Democrats actually to get their act together and to start, you know, presenting, you know, a viable alternative for the future.
Garry Kasparov, before we let you go, we have to ask you about chess for a moment because something pretty extraordinary happened. The Norwegian defending champion Magnus Carlsen and the Russian challenger Sergei Karjakin were locked in a tie at the World Chess Championship. Carlsen ended up winning in a series of high-speed tie-break games. What did you think of all that?
Yeah, you're right. It was extraordinary that the match lasted for so long because Magnus was a heavy favorite. I spent a year working with him in 2009, 2010, and I can tell you that it's absolutely unique talent. Sergei Karjakin, okay, he won the qualification, but it was kind of an accident. And it was, you know, sort of high-tension drama at the last moment, but I think the game of chess eventually has won.
That's Garry Kasparov, who is the chairman of the Human Rights Foundation. He is a former world chess champion, and his book is called Winter is Coming, Why Vladimir Putin and the Enemies of the Free World Must Be Stopped. It's just out in paperback. Garry Kasparov, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.